Oh, a hard cut. How exciting. Hi, this is Steve Gilmore, and this is the Gilmore Gang. Okay, that's it. I'll see you again next week. Let's see. Somebody looks like they just woke up. No? He's shaking his head. So.
No, it's it. I haven't showered today, and here's why. I'm having this...
Please share.
No, it's a good reason. So I'm having this... I have this amazing water filtration system installed in my house. It's like... It does like UV radiation, and it does triple filtration. It's supposedly going to, I don't know, make me live to be 200 years old. And they install this fucking thing, and then they go. And as soon as the water gets through the system, so it started to use the water from this new goddamn filter, it turns out that they did something horribly wrong, and there's this distinct chemical glue smell that is so bad, the water comes out, I wish I videoed it, brown, bubbling, and smoking, and smells of this nauseating glue smell.
It sounds like Hogwarts.
Probably 1,000 gallons of water trying to filter it out. It didn't. So anyway, they came back today. The water's turned off. They're trying to figure out what it is. And, you know, I can't drink any water or take a shower.
Whatever. Okay. So what has that got to do with Facebook? All right, let me introduce everybody, and then we can get to whatever this is. Just back from Defrag, I guess you'll tell us a little bit about that, is John Toshak. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Steve. Just walked in the door.
Good timing. I'm going to introduce Robert last, because he's having a cough attack. Actually, he's not. Now, so I was lying. So, first, Danny Sullivan. Welcome, Danny.
Hi, thanks.
I wanted to see how fast Tina could get back to you. We're going to do a video one of these days about how the TriCaster actually works. And Robert Scoble. Welcome, Robert.
What's up?
Okay. So, anybody want to get started with... I noticed that TechCrunch... posted a lot of the videos of the Web 2.0 Summit, which I attended some of and watched the rest of them on TechCrunch. So, Mike, did you watch any of it?
Wow, it's a little blurry. Or is it just on my end?
No, it's okay. So did you watch any of the Web 2.0 Summit?
Yeah, I watched a lot of it live, and some of it just our coverage.
So any takeaways?
You know, one takeaway is this. Vattel gets amazing speakers at that event. I don't think he's a very good interviewer. I don't think he's willing to ask hard questions that maybe even piss off the person he's interviewing. And so a lot of times his interviews are just softball, and kind of boring. The best events, I think, or the best panels are when, you know, two people would be going at each other, or, you know, something like that. I wish he'd get a little tougher, because he gets amazing speakers.
Well, that sort of happened on the VC panel, right?
Where Fred Wilson and West Coast was going
at it. And that was great. Wow, that's a big microphone. Is that a new thing, Robert?
Yeah. It's a blue microphone.
What does that mean, blue?
It's the brand of it. It's a blue bottle microphone. It's a professional microphone.
Excellent.
All right.
Hey, I do a lot of TV now.
Hey, I don't have good microphones. That's yeah. Great. And we're going to go back and talk about irrigation systems as well. So, what did you think of Mark Zuckerberg's conversation, given the fact that you didn't like the interviewing?
Me?
Yeah.
Or the blue microphone guy? I think Zuckerberg is fun to watch him like grow up. I mean, he was much better than he was the last time he was on stage. So.
Well, the last time was a couple days before, that morning, or whatever it was. The announcements around messages, but
I was talking about D.
Oh, I didn't see that. They don't broadcast that to normal people.
Yeah, they put the video up later, though.
and you thought he was
challenged. He wasn't sweating.
What? There was a shout out, Danny, of.
At the D conference, he broke out into sort of flop sweat, and some people referred to it as this kind of a Nixon moment. And at 2.0 Summit, he was fairly polished. He was personable. It was the first interview I've seen him where he's been. You didn't feel like he was sort of this autonomous talking, and kind of gave some good reasons for why Facebook won't export some of its data, although it didn't really hold up as you started poking more into it.
How do you mean it didn't hold up?
Well, you know, it's a simple, you know, it's like, will you allow people to export their email addresses out of Facebook? Well, I don't know if we can do that because, you know, social networks are this sort of thing and that's this sort of thing. It's like, well, you allow them to export their email addresses to Yahoo and you allow them to export their email addresses to Microsoft. So clearly these email addresses aren't something special that you have to protect, you know, like a mother bear and prevent anybody from taking them. It's just you don't let people export them to people that you don't like Google. So,
well,
you know, it was this, you know, and that was the answer, but that's not the answer he gave.
Well, it sounds like it's the answer he gave. I mean, Evan Williams was kind of said that. Same thing in the last talk. He basically said that...
Zucker, he didn't say that. He dodged the question. He simply said, well, you know, I don't think email addresses make sense necessarily that you give to... He made it sound like it was perfectly fine to export your email addresses out of an email system, but when it came to social networks, well, we kind of have to be careful because we don't quite really know where all the boundaries are. We don't really know what all the things are. When it was a simple question, if on my social network I have the email addresses of all my contacts, why can't I just export them to however I want? They are actually my friends who have chosen to share my email addresses with me, and I should be able to do that. And, you know, the answer why was, well, the answer would have been, we don't really want you to be able to export them unless we've got some kind of business deal that benefits us. We don't really care whether or not it benefits you. You know,
Robert, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think they should open up and they should just get on with life.
Yeah. Mike, do you agree?
Yeah, they need to stop being hypocrites. Did I mention that I had to brush my teeth with Diet Coke today because I had no water?
Do we need to know that, Mike?
Yeah, that actually, that. There's scientific...
Actually, the brushing part isn't so bad. It's the rinsing with Diet Coke that's just like...
So the rinsing is what you don't like.
Our infrastructure in this country is falling apart. That's the problem.
I can't help it if you move to some place in the middle of nowhere.
I'm just pissed off that, like, you know, I can't think of anything else. I can't get worked up about Facebook. I can't get worked up about MySpace. I have no water.
Do you have the new Facebook messaging system, Mike? That's all we really care about.
No, you know, I still don't have a Facebook name. I mean, I'm still like 128764 or whatever because it was either that or like, you know, Merrington 876 or something. So well, I never got one.
They gave you one.
I'm not sure.
A long time ago, they gave you one.
They did not. No, they didn't.
Really?
You had to go out and pick one during the land grab.
Well, remember they gave press like a few days advance?
Yeah.
I was so pissed that they did that. I just thought that was just ridiculous that I didn't do it.
So it was better to have a good post than to actually take the name.
I probably can live a full, like, and happy life without having a Facebook profile, like vanity name.
So in other words, you're not going to get some recognizable thing at Facebook.com.
I it's not like I'm putting a, you know, stake in the sand.
Can't you go? I mean, Michael Arrington seems like it's open right now.
Do you understand? I have no water in my house. I'm just what my Facebook vanity URL is. You're trying to get me to make like a controversial statement of the week. It's like Arrington says he'll never get it. No, I want water. I just want my water to come out of the sink when I turn on the tap. That's it. That's all I'm looking for today.
So you don't really care whether Facebook's being a hypocrite or not. You just want water.
Well, I wrote like 20 posts on it. I called them out. I then showed how, you know, Facebook said you cannot mass download your data. It's not your data, it's your friend's data. So then I did a how-to how to get it into Yahoo because they have a deal with Yahoo. Yeah, no, they're bastards. They lied. Okay. What next?
I don't know. I'm missing something here. I don't see how they're lying. I think they're being quite obvious and just basically
because
saying,
they,
no,
they
can't
flat
have
out
it.
Lie. They
oh, they
say,
lie.
They say we can't export these email addresses because we're this newfangled thing that you don't quite really understand, and we really shouldn't be able to have people do
well,
that.
Well, nobody seems to understand
know
it
like,
except
for example,
them.
Mark, when he was talking, I think, if I recall correctly, he said something like, well, you know, I mean, it can be difficult because just because someone, you know, is your friend doesn't necessarily mean that they want you to have their email address, except that when you sign up for Facebook and you use the completely transparent control systems that they have established and that they have determined have fully informed you about all the things you want, all the granular privacy settings you would ever want, you have the ability to say, do I want to share my email address with friends?
Yeah, but wait
so
a minute.
So yes, you can do that. And yes, you've
yeah
deliberately
hang on
chosen
a second
to do that. And
this
and
sounds
at one
like
point,
a lot like a Gilmore Gang like 2 years ago.
Well, no, but I mean,
I'm having total
Tim,
deja vu
at one
here
point, Tim O'Reilly said, look, what's the deal? I could go and
sounds like a game show.
And, I can go and see the email addresses oh, and copy them one by one. So it's not like I can't have them. It's not like people can't share
but
them.
But wait a minute. You have certain you have certain relationships with people, and you and they
really
give you
whose phone's ringing?
It's
every
nice
phone I own. Google Voice is working today, just not anything else. So sorry.
Sorry.
I mean, it's like this phone and a cell phone and then G Talk and sorry. Go on, Danny. Please, you were saying.
But I think he made his point.
You can you are allowed to look. This is like the same day, I think it was either the same day or the day after, I can't remember now, it's the week's blurry, where Facebook unveiled their own email system that's not an email system, and yet it gave everybody email addresses. So they want you to be able to interact with people. They want you to be able to effectively have a contact list of all your friends. They just don't want you to be able to take that contact list anywhere that they haven't decided on your behalf that you should be able to do it. And the best argument that they can say is, well, we're trying to protect the other people because we don't know if they want you to take their email addresses, even though those people have explicitly said using
no, but
Facebook's
Danny,
own system,
Danny, they're,
you can
they've been
email
quite
address
consistent about this, that they want to only let you take your data to places that they can control. And,
that, well, no,
and there is a good argument because let's say I say, oh, I want to share my email address today. And then tomorrow I say, no, I really don't want Danny to take my email address and I want to turn that off. Well, if you've taken it out into Gmail, and I'm not arguing that this is right because I think it's a bullshit argument, but this is an argument that they're putting forth.
But that's
that
not
if
the
you
argument
take it
they put
Gmail
forward. But that's not the argument they put forward.
Whenever
because
I talk to them,
as soon as I take my email addresses out of Facebook into Yahoo, they don't have the ability to then reach into Yahoo and pull it back out of Yahoo. They can't do that. I mean, it's a dumb export. It's just here's your email addresses. So, yeah. I mean, I agree with you, Robert. They want the ability to let you export only to the places they've decided it makes sense for you to export.
Oh, maybe they just want to.
It's very convenient that Facebook's a data roach motel. You know, your data goes into Facebook, but it doesn't leave.
Yeah, I mean, that was something I said at the first Web 2.0 summit about 150 years ago. So what?
Yeah.
So it's a data roach motel. I mean, so your Gmail is a data roach motel too.
Oh yeah.
When was the last time you got anything out
of
that?
No, it's a roach motel that things can get out of and go into Facebook.
Oh really? You can remove all your.
How do you do that?
That I've
is there a little zip file where you can download everything that you've ever said? I mean,
yeah,
first of all, I have like 40 gigabytes.
You can export your contacts out of Gmail. It's not hard at all.
Yeah, your
I have contacts,
but you can't. That's not where the lock-in is in Gmail. Gmail has its own lock-in called filters. And if you set up all your filtering system and your display systems to be productive, you can't export that.
So, Robert, that's really something that I think is not applicable to the vast majority of Gmail users. I'm a heavy Gmail user.
What?
I have like 30 filters. Most of those are just to deal with spam that Gmail didn't deal with in the first place. But you want to break it down. If I just want to take my contacts out of Gmail, no problem. I can
That's
do
true
that.
Right, because they're worthless. About
yeah,
70% of them
they're
are dead.
They're rotting.
Yeah.
Why are they rotting?
Because they're not kept up to date.
Look at your Google Reader, feeds and see how many of them actually work.
Contacts that I have and people that I email are worthless. These are people that I stay in contact with.
But they are rotting.
Why are they rotting? I constantly have new addresses that I'm adding in there. If they're so worthless, why on earth does Facebook, when you sign up, want you to import all your contacts? They should say, hell, there's no sense importing all your contacts because everybody has
a certain amount of contacts in Gmail or in Exchange or whatever it is that they're trying to farm on day one to get people started.
By the way, Danny, I don't have your phone number or your email in my contacts. Could you send that over to me?
Who are you talking about? Danny?
I just looked up at Google Contacts for Danny Sullivan.
Why don't you just Facebook me? It'll be easier.
Tell you, man. I have your friend on Facebook and all your data.
I'm not saying my Gmail contacts are the ultimate thing. I have various ways I'll contact people. Interestingly, for me personally, the least popular method I'll use to contact someone is to go to Facebook. I hate it just because I operate out of email. But that's me. Other people, such as the people that they've rolled out their new system for, Facebook is their inbox, and they want to be able to interact with people, and that is the way that they're going to keep track of people or uses their contacts or whatever. But let's just imagine that. I know it's we could never happen, but let's imagine in 5 years that Facebook became as sucky as MySpace, right? Which, you know, as I think TechCrunch had said in their headline, surrendered this week. I mean, it seems incredible to believe, but then you might have thought that about MySpace. So let's say that Facebook just goes down the tubes and you decide, I really want to take my stuff out. You still can't take those contacts with you.
Well, if they go down the tubes, they're going to be glad to give you all the data. I mean,
not quite true anymore because on the iPhone app, I can connect my Facebook stuff into my iPhone contacts, which then gets into Google contacts, and it brings some stuff over. It doesn't bring them all, but
right.
I agree with you,
Danny. What they did in October was they rolled out a Facebook export tool, and they trotted all the press out in one of the big trot all the press out to some event that we've called at the last minute. And everybody gathers up and they say, well, we're doing all this stuff and look, we're all open and we're all really about being part of sharing and kumbaya and everything else. And then you go through and you go to export your friends and your friends turn out to be a list of people. Robert, in my friend list that I can export using Facebook's wonderful Facebook tool is a name called Robert Scoble. That's all I got. I don't even have your email address. I can't even say to you, hey, Robert, I'm over here now. See you over there.
I agree. I remember back when Mike Arrington used to have water 2 years ago, we had this huge argument. I argued exactly your point. So I'm totally on board.
Yeah, but you tried to get Mike to argue back with you this year, and he didn't.
Nah, Scoble, that's bullshit. You were using a script that violated Facebook's terms and conditions and that script was engaging in screen scraping and used on any kind of real scale. It really could have disrupted their site. The real problem with what you did back then wasn't that you're trying to get the data out as much as, one, you were partnering with Plaxo to do it, which was an inherently evil company, and two, they were violating Facebook's terms and conditions in like a material way, and that was the only problem.
Yeah, because I wanted my email addresses just like Danny did.
That's fine, but you can't like bring a site down, you know, to get your email address. I mean, it's just that's not a like sort of fair balance now. But the problem today,
it doesn't seem to take Google down every time Facebook imports a Google email address.
Remember, screen scraping is different, especially on a massive scale. It can cause problems. But if you look at what happened this time, you know, Facebook still in their official statement sticking to this: you cannot download your friends' email addresses because it's their data and it's not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But for some time, they've been allowing mass exports of your friends' email addresses to partners who have paid them somehow. And so it's clearly bullshit. They clearly lied. They clearly made a mistake because I called them on it and Danny called them on it immediately. And they look like assholes. And that's the real problem here, isn't whether I can get the data out or not. The problem I have is I don't trust Facebook. Like, I actually don't trust that they've gotten everything sort of aligned and that they're always going to do the right thing.
Who do you trust?
I don't feel like Google is in reading my Gmail. I do believe, I would bet my life that at some point, some curious Facebook employee has gone in and read my Facebook account and my Facebook messages. And in fact, I recently asked a Facebook engineer about it because, you know, these rumors have been going on for years. And, you know, his answer was, oh, that, you know, we haven't done that stuff in a long time. It's like, okay, well, even if you did it 2 years ago, that's still, like, really bad. And they clearly were doing it then. And so now they want me to move most of my messaging activity onto their servers. And my real problem isn't that I can't export the email addresses. My real problem is, in my gut, and there's no legal basis for this, I just feel that I don't trust them yet with that kind of data. I feel like they're too adolescent still. And that's the problem I have with them. And when they lie and they do things like they did around this last week, it adds to that feeling. It makes me trust them less in general.
John Tyshek, do you trust Facebook?
I can't say I do trust Facebook. I think that everything that Zuckerberg has said over the years about your loss of privacy, your privacy doesn't exist, you know, maybe it's true, but still, you can't put your trust in a system or your faith in a system that is like that. And, you know, I go and look at their yesterday or the day before when I was just looking at the About page for Facebook, stumbled across their privacy policy. And it says that, you know, anything that you put into Facebook, anything you put into Facebook is your own. And to me, I put in, you know, we put in our own email addresses, but of course other people that you friend are putting in their email addresses. And so there, I can see why they're kind of confused about this, but I don't trust them in the way that it is definitely a business agreement between, you know, Facebook and its, you know, its trusted entities for how they share those email addresses.
But what company do you trust?
I only trust one company.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what company is that? Is it the company that just bought Jigsaw earlier this year?
Yeah, that
crap.
One.
Right.
I mean, you bought a company that incentivizes people to type in contact information for individuals onto the web and then get paid for other people who download it.
Well, that's what it did initially, but we didn't buy that company. We bought one to fix that problem.
That too. What is up with this, like, you know, be evil until you've made enough money and then, like, pivot, turn it into something else, and then everybody's like, oh, it's totally forgivable. That just gives incentive. I mean, if you look at Plaxo, they were evil until they became profitable, and then they stopped doing all the spammy stuff. If you look at Zynga and the crap they pulled last year, and now suddenly they're they're Disney, and then, you know, you buy Jigsaw because they're no longer fucking people over. It's just like, where are the ethics in Silicon Valley? Is it just, there are none? It doesn't matter, right?
There's truth to that there aren't that many ethics in Silicon Valley. From the way a lot of Silicon Valley companies price products and gouge later, to anything, you know, that's going on. And it's money-driven culture. They don't give back to charity for the most part. You know, it's true. There's a huge lack of trust in Silicon Valley firms in general.
I don't know. I just think that there's this naivete, which is a sort of feigned naivete, that, you know, somehow we're all going to get something for nothing. You know, I think people are well aware that when they jump onto Facebook, that the data that they are contributing, I mean, you know, I have some videos on Facebook that I can't get out. I guess I can get them out now with this big freaking, zip file, but... you know, I just don't understand why everybody, it's like that scene in Casablanca, you know, that the guy's shocked that there's gambling going on as the guy gives him his winnings. I mean, we're all profiting and participating in this alleged, scheme, it seems to me.
We're willing conspirators in this. I mean, we're absolutely willing to put our data into these systems, and they are free. There's a lot of them are startups. And we're totally willing to give out anything. That's why when Zuckerberg said privacy doesn't exist, there's a truth to that. I mean, he's not saying it shouldn't. He's saying it just doesn't. You know, privacy's out the window. And you put your stuff into all these systems, and you don't know where it's going. And so there's only going to be
In Skype, right? Skype is supposedly private between two people. I was having an argument with a friend, and his first impulse was to take that whole argument and put it up on his blog. And it's like, there is no private. That's why I don't pretend that there is privacy, even when you're in a Facebook group that is set with privacy. I know anybody could take a screenshot of that and put it in a public view. And so I just always treat the world as if I'm public.
But, you know, going
into trouble.
Drilling down a little bit further, Danny, you know, when Zuckerberg says, which I thought he said effectively, need to restart your computer? Oh, man, I've never seen this one. Okay, well, the stream's dead.
I'm still here.
I'm here.
No, we're all doing this, and it's recording, so we can continue. I'll say what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to go try and fix this machine. I thought Zuckerberg had a good point and expressed it well, that they're figuring this thing out. I mean, we have no idea what these huge, you know, a 500 million person network, how we're going to figure out how to be able to balance these issues.
It was a good point. It was a good point on some issues, right? And it's a very nice soundbite. We're figuring it out. And I think at one point he said it might take 5 or 10 years, but it doesn't take 5 or 10 years to decide whether or not I should be able to export the email addresses of people that have said that they want to share those email addresses with me on Facebook. And in fact, they've already figured that out. They've already figured that it's perfectly fine for them to share that information and allow you to do whatever the hell you want to do with it, as long as you get that information through Yahoo and Microsoft, who they have some kinds of business relationships that allow it. But if you deign to just say, I don't want to have to go through a third party to get the information that my friends have said explicitly I can have, then no, I can't do it. It makes no sense. You don't need to figure it out.
What do you mean it makes no sense?
Because they're allowing you to export email addresses. They allow you to export email addresses. Clearly, they have figured out that there's nothing wrong with exporting email addresses. They don't seem to have a giant all-campus meeting to decide, should we allow the export of email addresses or not? They've made that decision, and they do allow it. And if they haven't figured it out, then they by no means should be allowing people to do it through Yahoo or Microsoft right now, and they should immediately end it. But the reality is that they've decided it's okay, as long as it's okay with somebody who's on.
You know, maybe they've decided that the privacy policies of Yahoo and Microsoft are more in concert with theirs than opening this up to every idiot on the planet.
No, the privacy policies don't come into play. The privacy policies on Yahoo are not doing anything to protect those email addresses. Once they come out of Facebook, they go into Yahoo, and I can export them from Yahoo and do whatever I want. There's nothing that's preventing me from doing that. Yahoo doesn't say, oh my God, once you put your email addresses in Yahoo contacts, then we still have to decide whether or not you can put them into something else. Yahoo will merrily tell you you can take your email contacts and synchronize it with all sorts of other things. Yahoo has no ability to pull those email addresses back. There's nothing special going on with it. And in fact, even more so, if I go over to Facebook and I get myself into a developer and I want to write my own application, then I can go through the Facebook Open Graph and I could download my own information. So it's okay if I'm a programmer, I'm just an ordinary end user who would simply like to download my email addresses and put them into some dumb program like Outlook on my own computer. No, cannot do that. These are geniuses, right? These are social geniuses, tech geniuses. Everybody's supposed to be super smart over at Facebook. It's not that they can't figure that out. It's that they have figured it out, and the answer is, we just don't want you to be able to take it unless it goes to people we think are going to benefit us. And that's the basis of why you have people not trusting them. Even if we're in the minority, even if we're only the 0.0000% of the people who really care about it, even if, as Mark said, they don't really hear about these concerns from most people. Well, guess what? You don't hear about a lot of concerns about a lot of things from most people. That doesn't cease to make them valid concerns.
Yeah, totally agreed.
I didn't say that I don't think that the concerns are valid.
I think most people
realize when they get something for free that they're paying for it in some way. And as a parent of two girls,
that doesn't apply anymore.
What do you mean it doesn't apply anymore? If you just talk about the email and stuff, none of that comes into play. It wasn't like I said, oh, okay, Facebook, I want to use your service and I'd like to get something from the service. Therefore, I agree that I shouldn't be able to take my contacts with me, right? That's not something that you necessarily agreed to. I think if the idea that, okay, Facebook, there's this inherent idea that if I'm on your system, you're going to be showing ads. I think a lot of people understand that.
So we all know this is lock-in. This is a lock-in strategy. It has nothing to do, or not very much to do, with privacy. You know, and I think now it's been exposed. So we're locked in. So now what?
I don't think we're locked in either. And I thought that his comments about
lock-in.
We're not locked in.
Go to Yahoo. Create an account. Click a button. You have them all in a CSV.
Yeah, you can do it in other ways if you want to. It just becomes much more difficult for services like Google that would like to make it on an automated basis for you.
Oh, poor Google. I mean, give me a break. I mean, do you want to have three or four multinational corporations that own everything, or do you want to have one? Or two.
Three or four.
Right.
Yeah, Steve, communism was a great idea, and then they tried it out in the Soviet Union. I mean, this stuff just doesn't work. So, I mean, you know, you should have Marshall Kirkpatrick on the game once if you want to talk about that kind of stuff, because he's never seen a, you know, distributed, crowdsourced, you know, whatever that he didn't love.
Yeah, well, just because I'm
went out of business. So there's just
I don't agree with that perspective either.
You don't agree with which?
Marshall's.
Oh, okay, good. Then we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Weren't you just saying that you don't want three or four corporations owning all of our data?
I am saying at least two, and preferably three or four. And how do you get there?
One of them is Salesforce, I assume it's fine, right?
Absolutely.
And AOL would be a good second one.
Well, that's on your lips. Question for Salesforce, because most of the enterprise data is in the Exchange server, right? So does Salesforce take all the enterprise data out of Exchange and then hoard it like Facebook does?
Well, let me ask John. What's the answer to that question?
Most of the enterprise data is in Exchange.
All the contact information is in LDAP, right? And for most corporations, that's Exchange. No.
LDAP is different. Yeah, but. LDAP is an open standard, so Microsoft's actually in a better position than Facebook here, because you can get your contacts out and your email addresses out and put them in whatever system you want.
So can I get my contacts out of Salesforce Chatter and put them back into LDAP?
Do you have a Chatter account?
There's a Chatter API. You can get your contacts. Huh? Yeah, your contacts would be the same contacts that you see anyway, because we have a privacy and security model. You know, so that's something that Facebook lacks, which is probably why they're struggling with the technology a little bit. Just a little bit, but it's more of a policy issue. As far as policy goes, your data, we're very clear. Your data is your own data. If you want to export your data out, you can. You know, do it. You know, that's what makes us an open system. And it also
you
makes
have your own form of lock-in, which is all the chats that are going on, right? It's hard to export those to something
there is
else.
There is a Chatter API, but chats are a private conversation between two people. It's really hard to get private conversations exported. Again, you could take a picture of them and send them out. In the digital world, it's very hard to lock in anything. But you know, you have to make the attempts to do it, and Salesforce does. I mean, it's just like and any reasonable company does. They make those it harder to do that. And reputable companies will win here, and transparency will win here. If you're not,
Facebook will win here too.
So network effects win, and Facebook has one. And it's just it's like saying I'm not going to do Google searches anymore because they won't let me export my search history. They won. They can do whatever they want. The only way it stops is if the government gets involved. One of Marshall Kirkpatrick's companies is not going to be able to stop that.
Okay, so everything's going to be fine, in other words, unless the government gets involved. Or is that a good thing?
The government is involved. You know, when I was in Denver, I was listening to AM talk radio, and I have no idea what kind of station. It seemed somewhat right wing. In Denver, yeah.
Yeah, he was at defrag.
I was at defrag, yeah. And there was some police officers calling in that said that in order for you to apply to the police force, they needed to access your Twitter and Facebook accounts. You had to give them your login and password, and they would just go log in and check to see whatever, everything you did, everything you posted. I guess what people posted about you. It was ridiculous. I mean, how could you ask for that information? I mean, there's got to be some kind of privacy for a person, you know. But
you mean privacy from when they're posting on Twitter and Facebook? What does that mean?
It's also what you know.
Twitter
is
a wide open network.
DMs aren't wide open.
Yeah,
I can't see Mike Arrington's DMs to people.
So the police force can see DMs? How do they do that?
Well, if you have the password, sure.
That's what they were asking for, the login and password, your username and password, so that you could see what you were tagged and you could see what people are posting about you.
Can you delete everything DMs?
Rather than just public stuff.
Who was doing this?
Some police officers called, I don't know if it's true or not, and said that in order to... it was in some area of Denver, I guess.
There's no way that happened. Without probable cause, there's no way they did that. That's completely unconstitutional.
That's what it seemed like to me. And they said, well, that was part of their plan. And he goes, well, I can't really talk about it, but that's what we do. In order for you to, you know, to get into the academy here, you have to do that.
So if you applied for a police job there, then you would just delete all your DMs.
Well, that's what they were saying. People were just going around.
It's like, don't tweet, don't tell.
Yeah. By the way, the new Facebook messaging system makes it easier to delete. So
it does.
I find it easier.
Are you using it?
Oh yeah, I actually like it.
Has anyone tried the Kinect yet? Not to change the subject, but
Xbox Kinect. I have one. I love it.
Yeah, so our Crunch Gear guys got one, and they didn't tell me about it. I just bought one.
I bought one too. I didn't get a freebie.
So what do you think?
I love it. I think it's revolutionary.
I heard
what games do you have?
I have a bunch. I have five different games. The Kinanimals, the two sports ones, the dance one.
Okay, so let's focus on the dance one for a second. Have you tried it yet?
Yeah, it's sort of goofy, and I'm not going to let you film me dancing on Kinect, okay?
Can you just dance on the show?
I have pictures of you, like, mostly naked in my backyard from 2001. How humiliating is that?
Right.
I also have a picture of you from 2 weeks ago of me tying your tie because
it was awesome.
That was so sweet. It was really touching.
Let's see. I would like to see a video of you dancing on the Kinect.
Yeah, I would too.
I would be willing to post my own video at the same time or after.
Would you allow Facebook to release that if it was it existed?
Let's try. We'll expense it just for this test.
So I think Kinect is a really big deal. It is because I have tried it before at Microsoft, and it is a completely different experience than the Wii. And I think I think it's just going to rejuvenate video game consoles. I think it's absolutely amazing.
Is it
going to
save Microsoft?
Have you played soccer on it yet?
No, the only thing I played was that test game that Microsoft.
It's unbelievable.
Made.
I mean, you kick the ball like a real soccer ball, and it acts like real soccer ball. It's really amazing.
It's amazing because they can get your feet like, you know, what do you do on a Wii? Put sensors all around your body until it acts like a Wii? I don't mean, it's just.
I have a Sony Move, which is like Wii done a little bit better, and it's nothing like Kinect. I think Kinect is really.
Can you, two people can use one Kinect device at the same time, right?
Yeah, but you got to be careful because did you see all the videos up on Crunch Gear of people hitting each other? I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I saw it. So yeah.
Because it doesn't act like a real soccer ball. There is no ball.
Oh, man. Yeah.
The ball becomes the person standing next to you, and that can be painful. But, you know, the Xbox, is that going to save Microsoft in general? How many of us on this call have?
It's still a money loser for them. They still lose a couple bucks.
It's around break even now, but they lost.
No, their
a lot
network
of money.
Is not.
I know, but you know what? The other
Xbox 360 is not losing money.
The other thing that really I just find more and more remarkable is we had Call of Duty come out this week, and what were the figures, like $650 million or something? I can't, it was some absurd amount of money that's spent on it. And, you know, I started playing Modern Warfare about a year ago, and I was just fascinated by there being hundreds of thousands of people online at like a Saturday night,
right.
Oh, yeah. Buying the virtual goods and all this sort of stuff. And this is like thriving community around these sorts of games. And I just
my son's totally into it. My son's totally into it. And a lot of his friends took a day off of school to play the game. And it's stunning. The visual quality of that, of the new Call of Duty, is just stunning.
Luckily,
I don't watch that. Who knows? Maybe.
How much? Maybe what percentage of time do you play games on the computer?
Everybody. How much do I play games? I don't play games very much, but the Kinect has gotten me doing it because it's different.
10% a week.
Less than that, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So, can I say something else? Another subject change.
Yeah.
Because the whole reason I thought of this, the Kinect yesterday. I mean, I bought it a few days before, but yesterday I was like, wow. I mean, I love new platforms and new technologies that allow for new industries to spring up. Now, Kinect is sort of a Microsoft thing. Some game developers will do great with it. But the reason I was thinking about it last night is that a friend of mine is in the healthcare industry. Said that she was helping this woman who was really out of it, who was like 90 years old. But her husband was there, who was totally with it, and he's 98 years old. So he was born in like 1912 or something, right? And she said she talked to him for a long time, but she asked him, like, you've lived like a 100 years. What do you think? What's the most important sort of thing that you think happened in the last 100 years that you've struck you as just amazing? And it wasn't like the automobile. It wasn't television. It was the iPhone. He said, and he had an iPhone and he was playing with it. And he said, "This is just the most amazing thing I've seen in my life. I could have never imagined this when I was younger, that this kind of thing would ever happen." And you know, that stuff's great. Like, let's do more of that.
What, right? iPhone?
Well, just Kinect and iPhone. I just like new things that happen. That, you know, like, obviously, huge companies are being built on the iPhone platform. You know, we don't have a Zynga-sized company yet, but we've seen what NG Moco has done. And, you know, I mean, what if Intel finally breaks through some of these barriers and creates yet more powerful chips that are exponentially more powerful than what we have today? You know, we start getting into you know, 100% realistic virtual reality, medical breakthroughs. I mean, that's the stuff that I'm really excited about right now. Far less concerned with what Facebook's doing with Robert Scoble's email address, personally.
Well, you know, when I was in Japan a few weeks ago, you watch people in the stores, and they've got, what is the name of that phone that they have over there? John, do you remember it? It's something like, it's not World for Warcraft, but it's some sort of name for a phone. But the point I'm trying to make is, they use this as a transaction device. They walk around the store holding this thing out.
Right.
It's just a completely different level of intensity that we're just starting to feel with Groupon and Foursquare and all these kinds of location devices. I mean, it's not a location device over there. It's you know, like a seeing eye dog, basically. You follow it. It doesn't follow you. That's interesting to me. Do you see any other kinds of inventions that are going to come along that are going to rival the iPhone?
I don't know. You know, I got a tour of Microsoft Research lately, and they have a thing called Lightspace, which takes 5 separate projectors and projects computing surfaces on everything in a space. So you can hold a ball, a virtual ball in your hand, and transfer it to somebody else. You can put pictures in your hand and transfer it to somebody else. And it's done by the same guy who did the Surface computer. I think that research is interesting. Now, whether Microsoft can turn it into a product that's useful, that's another question. But somebody will somewhere.
It might be useful, but too expensive to monetize for the masses.
Well, Kinect gets you Kinect is actually a 3D space, right? And people have already hacked the Kinect to turn the Kinect's cameras and laser system into a 3D capturing device. And so we're already getting there pretty quickly with a $200, you know, game device. And what's next? You know, micro projectors are $500 right now or even less. And you take that 5 or 6 years forward and you can see something really change. I mean, I remember when Steve Wozniak showed me his dye sublimation printer in, what, 90, and it cost $40,000. And today a $50 printer does a better job. And so if you can't afford the rich man's toys, just stay alive.
Okay, well, I'm trying.
Me too.
Try drinking the Arrington Black water there. I think it helps.
There's a barrier
to entry, though.
Stanford's car laboratory where they built the Google car. And that shit is mind blowing.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't the barrier to entry to these kinds of galactic changes, isn't it? Isn't hardware very expensive to produce and to momentum with?
Well, the car today to deck it out would be $300,000 worth of sensors, and it has a data center basically in the trunk. But you take it 15 years from now, that'll be $2,000, and everybody can afford it. You know, or most people in the Western world can afford that kind of cost.
But I don't know, Mike. Is that what you're really talking about? Are you talking about 15 years from now, the iterative,
To be clear, I haven't listened to the conversation for at least 60 seconds.
Well, I knew that. That's why I'm asking you.
Because you're watching me over here.
I can see you all the time, yes.
I've written an entire post that I started after the Gilmore Gang started, and now I'm dealing with comments saying how awful my proofreading was. So.
Well, there is no such thing as multitasking, but...
I got to tell you what I'd rather have than a self... this may not be the question you asked because I didn't hear it, but what I'd rather have than a self-driving car, that was the last thing I heard was Robert going on about that, is perfect, like a perfect virtual reality machine. Like whoever invents that gets all the money. Because they talk about it being the last human invention because then everyone plugs in and they're rock stars or whatever they want to be, and they never unplug again. So that will be fun.
That's what we were talking about. Andy Wilson's Microsoft Research is basically that, a virtual reality space where you step into it and it puts computing surfaces on everything around you and your body. And now you can have real, really close to virtual, almost like a holodeck.
No, they need to be putting things into your brain for that. There's no screen. There's no. They got to be connecting directly to your brain.
Well, that's a ways off. I won't sign up for the beta of that. All right.
Yeah, well, but you know what, Robert? That might come in our lifetime. I mean,
it probably will. And actually, where we're going to see the. That happened first is with disabled people because their doctors are already trying to put eyes on people who can't see, and by hooking into the optic nerve, that's where the research is going to be done. And those people are willing to sign up for the beta test because they can't see anyway. So let's see if we can see anything.
It's like saying that coffee is only for like people who have sleeping problems. I mean, this is hugely mass market. I mean, everyone in the world that can afford one would get one. Let's say that right now. For $1 million, you could buy a machine that looks like maybe a tanning bed, you lay in it, and you have perfect virtual reality, and you can say, well, tonight I want to be a rock star, tomorrow night I want to be president of the United States, etc., and then don't even get into the porn possibilities, which is a whole other industry, and then you think about that, how many people would buy it? Every single person that has $1 million, like, can afford it, would buy it. And so, I mean, it's just unlimited amounts of money.
So we have to make $1 million much more accessible so that everybody can buy it.
Great. The rich people will never be productive again.
Except for there'll have to be a whole class of people that do nothing but like keep your body preserved, right? That like make sure that you're fed and that the IV is good, and then they're the people that have to actually have to work.
Gee, you know, they might even
part-time virtual reality.
They might even let you have water in that eventuality.
Well, it's funny because the Kinect is a good step away, and it's $200. So.
Oh, I got Danny to laugh. What does that mean?
Imagine this virtual reality gunk coming out of Mike's virtual taps.
I mean, Kinect lets you go skiing, right? The skiing game in Kinect feels like skiing, as close as you can get without having real snow under you and air going through your hair. But it's amazing what it's done.
This is great. No, yeah, not Francine me.
Just said Costco is sold out of Kinect. By the way, Kinect is going to be sold out everywhere. It is going to once you see one and play it at somebody's house, you're going to want it. And
you know
what?
But I saw it and I saw it and I didn't want it because it's like and I know it's going to be. I know I'm going to want it in a year when games that I want to play are with it. But I remember when the Wii came out, and I was like, "Oh, I gotta get it!" And he got it.
This is the iPhone. I'm gonna get it when they.
You want to play Call of Duty, don't you, Danny?
Yeah. But that's the thing. Call of Duty were Kinect enabled, I'd be there right now. The games I'm playing aren't Kinect enabled, and the stuff that they are, they're just not for me. They're just not compelling enough to.
Danny, what are you looking at when you talk? There's something up there.
I've got all sorts of screens and things.
They're all like way above your head?
Yeah, they're like, here, I'll try to show you. Can you see? There's like this, like all a, these. See? Can you see that?
I can see that, but.
He has the camera like on the floor, so things. He looks bigger.
You look like, who's the blind singer?
Stevie Wonder.
You look like Stevie Wonder when you're talking, because you're like, eyes are way up. You're like, it's pretty funny. I just want to point that out, so.
I have water, though.
You're doing it again.
Right? the other thing is my webcam. The other thing is, part of it's because my webcam is where my finger's pointing, but my screen where you guys are is just above it on my monitor that's above my computer. So when I'm looking at you guys, I'm seeing I'm like looking right above it. See, if I put the webcam right where you guys are normally at, now do I look like I'm looking at you?
Yeah. No, don't stop. Just. Could you put on a pair of sunglasses so when you know, move your head back and forth?
Speaking of which, Stevie Wonder is performing at Dreamforce next. Is it next week? The week after.
Are you kidding me? I thought Neil Young was going to do that.
Neil Young as well.
He was old when I was born.
Yeah. I got to be a Salesforce customer just so I get to go to the rock concert.
You guys are going to Le Web, though, so you're not going to be able to do
Paris.
It.
Paris or Neil Young, it's a tough choice.
I'm not going to the web. I haven't told Luis yet. I'll tell him a couple days before. But I'm not
yeah,
going
well,
to
this is a secret webcast, so don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you're going.
That conference is overrated. It's full of French people. I probably.
You mean it looks like a TechCrunch thing has taken it over? So you're definitely going.
No, I'm not going.
Really?
I just haven't told him yet. We're sending MG and somebody else and. Yeah, no. I'm either going to come down with the flu, or something's going to happen. Like,
there you go.
No. Do the head back and forth. Now sing.
Yeah.
Mike's got no water.
Well, we'll have fun in Paris with MG.
Wait, hold on. Okay, no, do it. Wait, go back to Danny again.
No. I'm going to cut off the music.
This is all going to end bad.
I'm killing the audio. I don't want the DMC. Seriously, Mike, turn the music off.
Okay, that was good.
Thanks.
You're getting shut down right now.
Yeah, they're going to come in and take
that's
my...
I actually had a webcam once that was great because it hung over your screen and it dropped into the middle of your laptop so you could look at the camera, but you could also see the people that were there.
See, that's
but
virtual
that's
reality
I've got a monitor above
you.
Me, so I look at the monitor for where you guys are at.
We knew that.
You explained that like 35 times, by the way. Totally got it now, like why you're doing...
I had to understand your water things in depth.
Wait,
I'm ready to export water from California back up to Washington State.
Scobles just quit show business. He's running away.
Solve the Arrington water crisis.
Oh, you know what? The song I played was Lionel Richie, which is, he's not blind, right?
Yeah.
Wrong song. Maybe we can cut in the right song later. That's a good video, I think.
Well, this is going to go on TechCrunch TV, so you can pay the DMC cost. Okay, that's, you do that.
I like that song.
Yeah, but what is it, 3 seconds and then we get...
You are the sunshine of my life.
Oh, God.
That's a good one. Hey, Mike.
What? I'm trying to get Stop. This show back on track.
No, the show's fine. It's just I don't want to pay the... You know,
it's
they can take
now.
Your
it's
house
all,
if you put that stuff
all
on the internet.
You're worried about copyright issues?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, once you're big enough, it won't matter. Everybody will forget whatever.
No,
you did
once there. You're big enough, then they take everything that you have.
Yeah, but then you just write a check, and it's like a traffic ticket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have you ever actually talked to a lawyer about this, other than Mike?
No.
I have. His name's Hank Barry, and he has a lot to say on the subject.
I'm sure it was fair use. I sang, and therefore it was transformative.
Well, the Beatles are finally on iTunes. Does anybody care?
No.
I
Didn't we already have like 15 copies of the Beatles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the mix that they did with the game, because they went right back to all the four tracks and then dumped them all to digital and then remixed them. They should do that with every single one of the albums.
Did you buy the $150?
No, I bought the mono. I already spent $700 this year on all the Beatle remixes, the remasterings. I can see nobody cares.
No.
All right. Well, we've got just a short amount of time left to not talk about anything. So, does anybody want to bring up any other subjects? Mike's done a great job of changing the subject repeatedly.
Well. The chat room wanted to talk about the Twitter ranking algorithm.
Yeah, that was interesting. The
TwitRank.
TwitRank, yeah. Yet another company that's not going to give you your data back, except if you pay for it.
Really?
What a shock. Yeah, that's Twitter, what he said.
Actually, to me, Twitter has been very unique in that they had this data that other people wanted, and I thought that they'd actually done a pretty good job of letting it out there. They could have said, no, we're not going to let Google index this. We're not going to let Microsoft do it. They did cut deals for it, but they didn't try to play favors necessarily. They didn't say, okay, sorry, only Microsoft gets it.
I mean,
they seem to be walking this.
This is one of the shows we need a transcript for so that we can actually point out where you're completely disagreeing with yourself.
Why? From Twitter?
Yeah. It's okay that they cut deals, you know. I mean, you said that was the thing that Facebook was doing wrong at the beginning of the show. It just makes no sense.
No, I didn't say that. I said that Facebook said they can't export information. I said Facebook is making it seem like
they said they didn't say that. They said they're not sure how to do it in a way that they're comfortable with.
That's not what they've said. They've said twice now. Twice now,
what?
Both from the engineer who posted on TechCrunch and also from Mark, that email is somehow exporting email addresses out of Facebook is somehow something you can't necessarily do because social networks are special.
Well, one thing they did was Twitter brought TrackBack on the iPhone. Did you hear that?
What?
Did you hear me?
No, I mean, you just took a boring subject and then like went more boring. I mean, can't we? Go on, sorry. Just ignore me. Put me on mute. What was that?
It's called dead air.
That was me snorting. Sorry. Well, what's got you fired up, Mike?
Nothing. He's just out. No lack of water is the only thing that's really exciting.
The water thing's pissing me off.
When is your water supposed to come back on?
Or you don't know? The guy's fixing it. So whenever he's done fixing it, if ever, then I get water. I don't know.
So, Mike, assuming
he's
you get
right
water,
now, why don't you bring him on?
You know, this is a perfect example of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Perfectly fine water. I just wanted this ultra amazing purifying thing, and so I do it, and then no water at all. And so I should have just stuck with what worked. That's the problem. I always wanted
pretty pure water to begin with.
It was probably fun. In fact, it's just cool to have this like glowing, it's really cool looking filter. It has this blue sort of glowing light and then three, and it looks cool. And, I don't know.
Okay, once around the table, and then we're out of here.
So, just one question for Mike, assuming he gets water. What's the best photo sharing app on the, you don't use an iPhone, do you? So you really don't care about Pat?
Yeah, that's
or,
actually
Instagram.
I'm not sure that that's true that he doesn't use an iPhone.
PixPlease is what I think is pretty awesome. I like Dalton as well.
I hate PixPlease.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I couldn't even imagine having that strong a feeling over an application that lets you take a picture.
All right. Well, how about Path?
Do I hate it? No. I think more. I think the problem is there's like they're all funded. They're all To tell you the truth, I used to use Postgres all the time, and I really like that, for posting a picture. You take a picture, and ultimately you're emailing it or using an app to post it to the internet. How do you get from that to, I hate PixPlease?
It's the reverse of
the... I don't care about PixPlease. I use that too, but my favorite's Instagram. I just learned from you, Mike, that you have to be bombastic on shows like this.
You're bombastic when you feel bombastic. You're not like,
I feel very strongly about Path. I think they went up down a bad philosophical
philosophical.
They went down a bad path.
Right, it's the anti-Scoble path. It's like 50. Yeah. You don't like 5,000, how about 50? What?
No, it's hard to get your friends on. If you're going to be an anti-Scoble app, like for you're going to be for normal people, you have to be on more than iPhones, because normal people don't all use iPhones, right? And then if you're going to be for normal people, you should have an integration with Facebook, because most normal people are on Facebook. My wife's entire elementary school's class from Iran's on Facebook, right?
Okay, wait. So why is it you hate Pics, please? Because of Facebook?
No, I like Instagram better because of the way it looks and the way it interacts with people on the mobile phone. I think Instagram is amazing.
So you'd say, you know, I've looked at all three, I've tested them out, I've tried them all, and like I say, Instagram is the one for me. Like, that's a perfectly reasonable statement, but it's just like, I know, it's just sort of religious feeling about it. It strikes me as interesting on the backstory. Like, it sounds to me like maybe you know the Instagram guys. I know MG knows them. Likes them.
No, I know all of them, right? I know Dave Morin. I know the Pick Please guys.
Really?
What's hey, Steve, I got to jump off. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Danny.
Like Instagram the best.
You guys have a good weekend.
See ya.
Okay.
See you, arrived.
Yeah, I got to go, too. I got to go.
The water.
I got to go.
The water.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. I want to thank everybody who showed up, and especially those who are still on. And that would be, I want to thank John Toshek.
My screen just went dark.
Thank you, Steve.
I want to thank...
You're here, Mike.
Yeah, you're still here. I want to thank Mike Arrington. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Are we going to post this on TechCrunch tomorrow?
Absolutely. At noon, right after I file my column.
Oh, cool. Can you give us a taste of that?
10 o'clock, dude.
Oh, shut
I was just checking it out. No, I do my best writing at 10:01. All right.
We tried for years to get somebody just to write a post on Saturday at 10 a.m. Paul Carr.
Look, the last week it was on TechMeme for like a week. It did pretty well.
Yeah,
but we have to have. You know what? Forget it. You're right, Steve. Awesome. Post it whenever you want. Your stuff's good enough, but we still need to find somebody who'll post at 10 a.m. That's the problem.
You heard it here first. There's a 10 a.m. slot open.
I asked Scoble if he'd write once a week for us.
I know. He said something about how he have to give us a charity or something.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that, Scoble? You've been writing better stuff lately.
Thank
it's
you.
Like the old Scoble.
I've been warming up to it.
So you're going to do it?
I'll pay you $25 a post for a once a week, 10 a.m. post.
Yeah, that's more than MG gets, I think.
It's awesome, man. And I'm willing to negotiate that. But, I mean, you know, you could do something. It'd be really good for us. And, you know, we really like your writing. So, at least I do. So.
Thanks.
Deal?
I'll think about it. I'm just so snowed under right now. It's crazy. That's why I haven't gotten back to you about it.
What's crazy? Your life?
My life, yeah. I have 8 videos to get up today. And I'm on the Gilmore Gang instead.
Well, that's all right if you don't want to be on.
No, I want to be on. It's more fun than doing videos of startups.
I mean, if you post something on TechCrunch, there's going to be 10 million people that are going to see it. That's a good sort of leveraging of your time. So
that is, I agree.
And, you know, I'd love to do it. I think your tone usually fits in exactly with ours, so I think it'd be really good.
The crazy tone.
I wish you would have accepted my offer to come work with me, you know, 2 years ago now.
Yeah, well, you didn't offer me enough stock.
I think, what did I offer you, 40% of the company? I mean, I think
I wish. Yeah, that would have been
all right, I got to go. See you. Bye.
See you, man. Okay.
I want to thank Rackspace and particularly Rob LeJess for their support in bringing this show back to the internet, and I want to say the same for NewTek and their TriCaster for making this a video show. I want to thank Tina Chase for her direction and production, and I think that's about it. We'll see you again next time. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.